Are you in need of anything this morning? Is there anything that you need? And I'm not just talking about something physical that you can hold in a possession or something monetary, but is there anything that you need? Maybe it's patience or I don't know. I don't know what kind of needs you have come here with. But I bet you can find one. I bet you can think of a certain need that you have right now, this morning. And I'm sure you already know this, but that's only one. Or maybe you've thought of quite a few needs that you have right now. But, you know, that is just going to be one that you're focused on right now of many, many needs that will come even throughout this day. You will have need after need even throughout today. And then, after today, you've got the rest of this week that is going to be a week full of needs. You will encounter many needs throughout each day of this week and throughout the whole week. And then if you think about the month of August is just about upon us and the needs that will fill the month of August, there will be many, no doubt. But let's follow the Lord's instruction and live one day at a time. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Let's think about today. Let's think about this moment. Let's think about a need that perhaps the Lord brought to your mind right now. Let's just look at that. Let's just look at one. God tells us, in His Word, in James, God tells us, you have not because you ask not. And then He goes on to say that, and sometimes we even ask, but maybe we ask with wrong motives. Sometimes maybe we even ask, and He says, but you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. But God gives us a confidence in 1 John. He tells us, that He gives us a great confidence that whatever we ask, if we ask according to His will, we will have whatever we ask of Him. And you see, His will is always what is best. You see, God knows what you need to a much greater degree, to a perfect degree, more so than you do. You and I may think we know what we need, but God knows what we need, and He will always respond in the way that is best. And His will and what He desires and what He wants for you, that is always what's best. And so what we need to do is to somehow get our hearts in line with Him and say, God, get me Your perspective. Let me have Your focus on these needs because I truly want Your answers, Lord, to my needs. Deliver me from what I want, from what I think I need. Lord, because I could be wrong, would You give me what You say that I need? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at some things that you need to remember as you face that need today and as you face the needs throughout this day and this week. Let's look at some things you need to remember. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn with me there to Romans chapter 8. And if you're new at this, that's in your New Testament. That's that last third of the Bible. And you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verses 31 and 32. But let me pray for us. Father, we just, Lord, the need right now, Lord, is to hear from you and not me. Lord, would you get me out of the way? And Lord, would you open each of our hearts, Lord, make us receptive to whatever you want to tell us. And then let us take what you say, Lord, and let us go and put it into practice. May we hear your voice right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this whole chapter, Romans chapter 8, through the Apostle Paul, God is teaching us about life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That as a believer, here's how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what this chapter is about. But let's just zone in on a couple of verses, verse 31 and 32. And let's just look at some things that we need to remember when we're dealing with needs. Verse 31 and 32. Hear the Lord speak this to you. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also, along with him, graciously, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All right, when you look at that need of today, when you the needs crop up throughout this day and this week, just remember this. Whatever you need, here's what you can say. Here's what you can say to the Lord. God, you are for me. You've given me your son. Will you give me, and you fill in the blank. That's what God is telling us in these two verses right here. Well, let's look at it more in depth. First of all, whatever you need, say this to the Lord. God, you are for me. You need to know that. These are a few things you need to remember. You need to remember that God is for you. We see it in verse 31. I mentioned it at the beginning of the service. He is for you. Now, if you notice in verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? In response to what? In response to what he just said in the preceding verses. Listen to what he just said before he got to this. And we know that in all things, this is verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And then we come to our text. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he goes on from there. So, look at those verses. God is for you. I love what Max Lucado wrote on this subject. Let me share what Max Lucado wrote on this. God is cheering for you. God is for you. Not maybe, not has been, not was, not would be, but God is. He is for you today, at this hour, at this minute, as you read this sentence. No need to wait in line or come back tomorrow. He is with you. He could not be closer than he is at this second. His loyalty won't increase if you are better, nor lessen if you are worse. He is for you. God is for you. Turn to the sidelines. That's God cheering your run. Look past the finish line. That's God applauding your steps. Listen for him in the bleachers shouting your name. Too tired to continue? He'll carry you. Too discouraged to fight? He's picking you up. God is for you. God is for you. Had He a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If He drove a car, your name would be on His bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, He's carved your name in the bark. We know He has a tattoo, and we know what it says. I have written your name on my hand, He declares. That's Isaiah 49:16. God is for you. Now, what a wonderful truth. He is for you. And then the next few words are, well, then who can be against you? If God is for you, if God Almighty, the Creator of the cosmos, the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, if He is for you, He's on your side, He's on your team, watch out. Who can be against you? You see, if He's on your side, you win. If He's for you and He's on your side, and you're on His side, you win. He is for you. You know how it is. We had Vacation Bible School not too long ago, and I led the recreation. John Allen and I led the recreation. And as we were out there, sometimes all the kids would come out, and we would need to break up into some teams. And we didn't do the picking, but imagine if one of the huge boys, very athletic, and everybody there knows that this boy is the best basketball player, the best runner, the best at everything. Imagine if there were the two captains there and they were choosing. Well, of course, he's going to be the first pick of the first person who gets to pick, and they're going to say, I want him on my team. Come on. And more than likely, if they get him, they're going to have a better chance of winning. Well, you see, God Almighty is for you. Imagine having Him on your team in life, in the game of life. What if He was on your team? Well, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've heard His message and you've responded and you've put your faith in Him, then He's come to live on the inside of you, and He is with you, and your body is now a temple of His Holy Spirit, and He is not only for you, He is with you always, and He's on your team. Wow. You win. You win. So the question is for you this morning, do you know that He's for you? He is. He's proved it. He sent His Son to die for you. Jesus, God in the flesh, He came, He died for you. So He's proved it, but do you believe it? Do you know He is for you? Well, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe what you need to do this morning is maybe you need to change your thinking. Maybe you've been thinking, no, He's not for me. He's against me. Well, this morning, maybe you need to understand how much He loves you and what He did for you. And maybe you need to embrace His truth. Maybe you need to turn away from the way you've been thinking that He's against you and He's not for you. And maybe you need to have a deep change of mind, and you need to turn to the truth, to Him, and you need to receive and know that He is for you. And you see, if you do that, that means you will have repented. To repent means to have a deep change of mind. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Know that He's for you. Maybe you need to believe that He's for you. And let me tell you this, if you haven't received Him yet, if you've heard His good news, but you're trusting in something else other than Jesus, and you haven't received it, and you haven't called on Him and asked Him to save you, if your faith's in something else, well, God says, before we come to Him, we are His enemies. So, yeah, you may feel like He's against you. But you see, the truth is, while we were His enemies, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, He knew everything you would ever do against Him, and He saw it all at once, and He chose to see you in all of your sin and ugliness, even the sins you hadn't even done yet. He saw it all, and He decided to give His life for you. He gave everything. And so He is for you. But once you believe, and once you trust Him, and once you call on Him and put your faith in Him, you become His child. In John chapter 1, He said, those who received Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. So whatever you need, remember to say, God, You are for me. And then you also need to remember that He's given you His Son. And so you can say, God, You are for me. You've given me Your Son. In other words, you have proved it. You are for me. You've given me Your Son. How many parents would give their son away? How many parents would give their son away? In John 3:16, God tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. As much as He loves His Son, God gave His Son for you and for me, for His enemies, a bunch of sinners who deserve to die in our sins and be separated from Him forever. And yet, He gave His Son because He wants us with Him forever. And so, you know, you show love by giving. Giving is a great indicator of how much you love someone. Do you give to them? What do you give? You see, love gives. Love gives. And you see, the more valuable the item is that is given away, the more love it shows. God gave His Son. What is most valuable to Him? He gave His Son. Or you could look at it as He gave His own life, because Jesus is God in the flesh. He gave His Son. He gave His life. He gave that which was most valuable. The most He could possibly give, He gave. And so, what else is left to give? If God has given what is most valuable, the most He could possibly give, His Son or His own life, what else is left to give? You know, sometimes people just joke around and they say something like, well, yeah, you know, I went there and they wanted me to give away my firstborn son. And we joke and we're kidding. And what are we saying? They wanted me to give away the most valuable thing that I have. But the truth is, God is for you because He did that. He did give His Son for you. And so the question for you this morning is, have you received His Son? He gave Him, but have you received Him? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Have you received that which has been given to you? I was just sharing just this past week with a boy, and I was got to this point. I was asking him about Jesus and what he believed and his faith, and I shared about Jesus and how he had died for all the wrong things that this boy had ever done, and that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he said, yeah, I believe that. I believe all of that. And then it came down to this. And then here's the big question. Well, that's wonderful. You know, we need to believe it all. I'm so glad you believe it all. But here's the big question. What if I had a present here and I said, you know what? I love you so much. And I said that to this little boy. I love you so much. I went out and I worked and I bought this wonderful gift for you. And I wrapped it all up. And I want to give it to you. Here you go. And I was talking to him and I said, now, is this gift yours yet? I probably confused him a little bit. He was like, well, I don't know. But what's the point? I said, no, it's not yours yet. I did everything necessary. I love you. I want you to have it. But I said, there's one thing that you still have to do. And he finally got it. I said, you have to take it. You have to receive it. You have to grab it and say, thank you. Thank you so much. You see, God is for you. He gave you His Son as a provision for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, there has to be a death penalty for your sins. And so He gave His Son, so His Son would pay your death penalty for you. And He's raised from the dead. And He calls you to come to Him. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hear Jesus' call to you. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with Me. And so Jesus wants to save you from your sins. He did everything necessary to do it. But you see, it's just like God holding a gift in front of you and saying, here's My gift. I love you. I want you to be with Me forever. And you can believe it all. I believe Jesus did it all. I believe He did it for me. But you see, it won't be yours. You won't have the gift. You'll still die in your sins unless you receive it. Unless you say, thank you, Jesus. I believe. I receive it. I give my life to You, Jesus. I'm yours. And so, have you received His Son? And then finally, whatever you need, say this: God, You are for me. You've given me Your Son. Will You give me this? You fill in the blank. Will You give me this? You see, anything else that you can possibly think of or comprehend, anything else is less than He's already given you. He's already given you His Son. Anything else is less. So, when you ask, Lord, will You give me this? You're asking for something less than He's already given you. And you see, whatever you need, go to Him. Go to Him and say, thank You. Thank You, God. I know You're for me. You've given me Your Son. But God, I need this. Will You give me this? And you need to know that it's less than what He's already given you. How will He not also, along with Him, His Son, graciously give us all things? Now ask with right motives. Desire His will. Want His will. But ask whatever you need. What do you need? He will graciously give it. And that word grace means free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that He just pours out upon you. You see, you don't have to be good enough. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't have to merit it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't say, well, you know what? I don't deserve anything right now for the Lord, so I'm just not going to ask. No, He doesn't operate like that. Grace is free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy. And it says that, how will He not also graciously give you all things? So when you don't deserve it and you haven't earned it, know that He's for you still. And He's given you His Son. So go ahead and ask Him, Lord, I need this. Would you give me this? Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask, seek, and knock. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your presence here with us. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are for us. Lord, that even in our worst sins, you saw it all, and you are still for us. You still went to the cross to pay for those worst sins so we wouldn't have to. And so, Lord, help us to declare with this need and with every need that we have from here on out, help us to declare to you, God, you're for me. You've given me your Son. And then let us go to you with our needs. Lord, if there's someone who needs salvation, may they call on you right now, saying, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I believe all of that that he just talked about. But Lord, I want to receive it. Like he said, I see it as the gift now. I see that I don't have any part in it, that it's not my good works or anything I've done. And so, Lord, I want to receive it. I want to receive your gift. So I receive Jesus. Save me from my sins, Jesus. Come into my life. Maybe that's your need this morning, Lord. Maybe there are some, Father, that need wisdom to know about this church. Maybe you've been speaking to them and they need wisdom. And so maybe their need is that you would tell them, if you're calling them, Lord, to this place, to join this church, speak to them about that, Lord. And for everybody else here, Lord, whatever our needs, whatever need that we thought of, Lord, help us to ask you and trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if you were in one of those categories, if you have made a decision, if you've received him, you've received the Lord, or you know that this is your church home and you just want to follow the Lord and join this church, then you do that. If there's something else that you need to decide, you can decide that at your seat. Come and share it with us. Share it with this body of believers. And you come.